Let us join together in prayer. Lord our God, in the power of your Holy Spirit, enable us to hear and respond to your word with faithful and obedient lives. Through Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter, beginning with verse number 1. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John was wearing clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Who's missing? That's the question I have this morning. Who's missing? Many of us have manger scenes that we put up in our homes this time of year. We have around 10, I guess, South America, Africa, parts of Asia. And yet all of them are missing someone. We have the sheep, we have the shepherds, we have the wise men, we have Jesus, we have Joseph, we have Mary, we have camels, we have angels, but we're missing someone. Who is that someone? Where is John the Baptizer? Do any of you have a John the Baptizer figurine for your manger scene at home? Or do any of you have a John the Baptizer ornament that you hang on your Christmas tree? Or John the Baptizer face glowing on your wall? Or 15-foot tall John the Baptizer inflatable billowing in the front yard with Frosty and Santa? I doubt it. Where is John the Baptizer? We always seem to overlook him, and I can understand why. December is so busy, isn't it? Here we go streaking through the month of December, sprinkling a little Christmas cheer here and there, baking an array of goodies, surviving the mobs at the mall, all in this effort to celebrate the birth of Jesus and maybe somehow along the way to experience a bit of joy and hope and renewal. It's easy to overlook John, but maybe we should pay him some attention this morning. John the Baptizer is what the crowds called him. He sports a jacket from Goodwill made out of camel's hair. There's an old leather belt around his waist. His beard drips with honey. And as he's munching away on a locust or two, he bellows out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Matthew says that this is the one that we had been expecting, who would prepare the way for the Christ. Now, this is an odd scene, to be sure. John is the embodiment of the Old Testament prophets, and he comes to us with eyes filled with a passion for God. He knows that God is doing a new thing in the world, that the old order of sin and evil and exploitation is coming down, and that a new day is dawning in Jesus Christ, a day of hope, renewal, forgiveness, and new beginnings. Make his path straight. That's what John the Baptizer is doing. He's preparing the way for Jesus to enter the world. This eccentric-looking fellow from the wilderness levels the ground, removing any obstacles that stand in his way. Even verbally bulldozing the religious folks, the faithful who are so frightened by the new era that Jesus brings. Do you remember what he says to the Sadducees and the Pharisees? "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is about to come?" John is nothing if not provocative. The theologian Tom Long helps us to understand his confrontational stance and what that might mean for us. He observes, John is speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, which is equivalent to saying that he is speaking to the Democrats and the Republicans, the fundamentalists and the liberals. Pharisees and Sadducees represented opposite ends of the political spectrum. But Matthew depicts them as being united in their opposition to the kingdom of heaven. Well, no wonder we don't have a John the Baptizer figurine. No wonder we didn't ask someone to play John the Baptizer in our pageant after the service this morning. John the Baptizer reminds us of the bad news about ourselves and about the world, even as he is proclaiming good news. The bad news of our sin. That is, the bad news of the ways we hurt ourselves and hurt one another and exploit other people. John the Baptizer reminds us that despite political rhetoric and quaint religious sentimentality, all is not right with the world. The way is not yet leveled. The path is not yet straight. It is cluttered. Cluttered with the masses of the starving, the sick, the dying, cluttered by tanks and greed and violence. That's why we don't have John the Baptizer in our manger scenes. Who wants to be reminded of that at Christmas? Who wants to be reminded of the brokenness of the world when we're spending time with family and friends and singing Christmas carols? Nobody. But John the Baptizer comes nevertheless. If we did have a John the Baptizer figurine, I think he would be very, very short and have blonde hair. If we had a John the Baptizer inflatable in our front yard, I think he would stand no more than 3 feet tall. And he would look a lot like Simon. Simon is the featured character in the movie Simon Birch. His was the smallest delivery ever recorded at Gravestown Memorial Hospital in Gravestown, Maine. Along with everything else, he was born with an undersized heart, and his prognosis was not good. The doctor didn't think he would make it through the night, but he did. The doctor didn't think he would make it through the week, but he did. The Birches didn't know what to make of their peculiar little disappointment, so they made nothing of it at all. Despite so many obstacles, one thing keeps Simon going. He believes that he is a miracle and that God has a plan for his life. One Sunday, he joins his best friend Joe and Joe's mother and Joe's mother's boyfriend for worship at their Episcopal church. After the scripture reading, the Right Reverend Russell stands up and says, "I would like to take a few moments to discuss some of the few activities coming up on the church calendar." Simon, sitting in his pew, moans, "Here we go." "Does someone have a question?" he asks. He then invites all the visitors to join him and his family for donuts and coffee after the worship service. And then Simon says, "What does coffee and donuts have to do with God?" "Shh," one woman warns him. The wretched says, Simon, is there something you would like to share with the rest of the congregation? And then Simon, all 3 foot 1 inch of him, Simon stands up on the pew and he bellows out, I said, what does coffee and donuts have to do with God? Well, there are merely refreshments that people can use to socialize as we're discussing church activities. But Simon will not be silenced. He says, whoever says that church needs a continental breakfast? Simon. I doubt that God's interested in our church activities. Simon. If God made the church bake sale a priority, then I would say that we're all in a lot of trouble. And then the Reverend Russell barks, Simon, that's enough. Simon sits down in his pew. He folds his arms together, and then he goes, ugh. If you haven't seen the movie, it is beautiful. His name is Simon, but he bears a striking resemblance to John the Baptizer. Maybe John the Baptizer is not missing after all. Whenever a child asks us a question that challenges our priorities, even a teenager from Sweden, we hear John the Baptizer. Whenever we give our time to ESP, the way has been made a little straighter. Whenever we come face to face with our own greed and sin and complicity in the violence of the world, John smiles. Whenever on a Friday night we go to Neighbor's Link to extend hospitality to our brothers and sisters, the ground has been leveled a little more for the arrival of our Lord. Whenever we extend hospitality to strangers, visit the sick, challenge racist humor, listen to the sighs of the grieving, travel to Appalachia, teach Sunday school, an obstacle has been removed. John the Baptizer is not missing. You just might not recognize him. Look around this room. Consider what you are doing in the name of Christ. And then you will see the face of John. Let us pray. Help us to see John's face in our brothers and sisters, O God. Help us to continue to prepare the way for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.